the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and
gone. Welcome into Walk It Off. I'm Dani Wexelman with two of my favorites, Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. Ashley is out in LA where it's probably sunny and maybe a little warm. In New York right now on Thursday, it is snowstorming and blizzarding. New York City schools got canceled, which is crazy. We came into work. We trudged through the snow to make it here today. But Ash, how's the weather out there?
Well, do you want to know?
I want to know the truth.
I don't think anyone wants to know.
I can handle the truth.
Okay, how about this? It was supposed to be 80, and I'm really sad because now it's going to be 75.
Oh, how sad for
you.
I'm gonna
go to the beach.
A little bit, actually.
So sad.
That one hurts.
I want to say this. I freaking love snowstorms. So I am really sad that all my friends are posting all these amazing videos on Instagram and pictures and stuff like that. But at the same time, I am glad that I don't have to go outside in it. So I don't know where I stand. I'm going to miss the snow soon. And I know that for a fact.
You could just go up to the mountains. Just there's just like a train up north, right? I don't know.
That takes time. I'm not gonna travel 2.5 hours to see some ding dang snow.
I just want to go outside
and see it from my window.
It was nice.
You can see it from your window. Yeah. So there's some really exciting news. Thanks to our producer Rena, our podcast is officially on iTunes, which is like a huge
whoop.
We're like so excited. group text was really exciting. So now we get to officially say you can rate, review, subscribe, hang out, listen, be a part of our podcast
on
iTunes.
Yeah.
Press all the buttons, share with your family, tell your grandma, tell your friends, please, which is really exciting. So that's there. So check that out. So let's start off really quickly. There's like a week left before people report and things, balls are thrown and things happen. So in this last week, do you like how I described that?
Yeah.
How are you guys preparing, Gemma? Like, what are you doing to like get ready? Are you like working out? Are you eating a lot of like meat, protein shakes? Like, how are you getting ready?
For me to start my Major League Baseball career, because I have a non-roster invite to Tiger spring training. That's why I would be working out and eating protein. There's no way I could ever be a professional athlete on any level. Like, watching all these guys do their workouts, they're like, oh, so close to spring training, time to throw something at a wall for 5 hours. I'm like, no. What am I doing to prepare? Nothing physical whatsoever.
Okay.
I'm planning for a long season of sitting on my couch and watching baseball, or sitting on my balcony and listening to it on the radio.
Okay.
So, you know, just catching up on guys that I like, just reading a lot, honestly, of transaction news.
Well, you like to read.
I do like to read. Yeah, because I do want to be kind of familiar, because I am going to be watching the spring training games, you know, to recognize who some of these people are, even if I don't see them ever again.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I am on a strict all meat diet with a side of macaroni included every night.
It seems really bad for you.
Favorite.
I feel like you should eat like one vegetable a day, maybe.
Sometimes I throw in some kale just for fun. No, I because I am on the SOE side, I don't really have like a I've not been doing any baseball things, like it's just kind of been filled with football and everything else. So I have been sometimes I like to prepare, like, okay, mentally, all right, here we go, like it's about to start, get ready for the grind. Like, you know, I like to try to go to the gym more, like honestly, just to like, you know, work off the like stress of the day or just everything that's a part of that. So yeah, so the meat thing is a lie, but I wish it was true. And I'm not throwing a ball against anything for 5 hours a day. Hashtag no off season. So yeah, I am trying to mentally prepare though, because it is a grind. I don't think people realize when you work in MLB.com for MLB.com what a grind it actually is throughout the season. You're not playing the games and you're not traveling and you know, rehabbing and all that, but you are doing a lot of things at the same time as people who are playing the game. So it's a grind in a different way. Ash, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I just found out I have an awesome roof. So I am going to buy a tiny TV and watch many a game on top of that roof.
Question.
I'll send you guys a photo. I have a great view of downtown LA. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
And so when it's not smoggy, which is only after it rains, which is
Never.
Five times a year. I will take a photo for you. I'm fairly close to the enemy, Dodger Stadium. Just kidding. Please take that out. God, I can't help myself. I cannot help myself. I have to do
Wait, this. I have a question. Why is it just a tiny TV?
Because I had to bring it upstairs, you know? I don't
Oh, you're carrying it up and down. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. I did that. I did that for opening day a couple years ago. I didn't have to work, and I have a nice roof, too, and I just brought my computer up on the roof, and I had a hot dog and some ice cream sandwiches and watched a bunch
Isn't
of games.
Isn't that the best?
It's so nice.
Yeah, Ash, I think your tiny TV is called a laptop.
I don't want it to overheat. I don't care about the tiny TV.
Yeah.
Because also, the roof is silver, like most roofs, so it will fry along with myself. So I probably could only get 3 innings in there. But still, I want to be able to get those innings in, and I'm going to do it.
Okay, so there's a couple things that I want to talk about. David Price making his tweet about stealing Tom Brady's jersey, but really the bigger point is that, okay, regardless of if you like Tom Brady or not, someone snagged his jersey, his Super Bowl winning, you know, 5th Super Bowl, 4th MVP, you know, you don't take that from somebody. I'm mad for Tom, but maybe I'm being dramatic. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Okay, yeah.
Ash?
First, I want to say David Price and his tweets about his personal postseason are out of control amazing, and we should be praising these tweets constantly because they're hilarious.
I love David Price. I'm in on this.
All right.
David Price is great.
His tweets, fire. They've been fire right now. It's so good. But to the person who stole Tom Brady's jersey, guaranteed he is a masshole, and those are the people that support him and the reason why we hate the Patriots. All those people. I don't even hate the Patriots because of Tom Brady. He's only annoying because of who he represents, which is all of New England.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what he gets. No, it's not right. You shouldn't be stealing jerseys, but I do think it's funny, and I think so does the rest of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think, like, don't steal things, but it is funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny that people are, like, participating in the fact that, like, I took it, I have it. It's like, I don't know what that reminds me of, but I feel like he's never going to get that jersey back.
It's like that game that you play in, like, middle elementary school or something when you have to, like, hold the quarter or whatever behind your under your hands or behind your back, and you pass it, and the one kid has to try to guess who it is.
And it just keeps going and going, and the kid gets really flustered and annoyed. And there's that meme out there of Tom Brady, and it's like, Dad, can you come pick me up? Like, these guys are being mean or something like that. But, I mean, David Price agreed. I mean, I like the trolling, but I do feel bad for Tom. I'm not going to lie. I feel bad.
I think he'll get it back, and also his life is great. So honestly, this is basically nothing in the scope of things. Like, if really you're just like, oh my God, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history ever, and I'm so great. No one will ever surpass my amazing achievements. Like, I'm not someone. Oh no, someone stole my. Like, he'll be fine, and he'll get it back. So it'll all be great.
You guys, he's gonna get it back immediately, and here's why: he's gonna want to show it off because he's stupid. I'm sure he stole a jersey. He couldn't be the smartest guy in the world.
You think he stole his own jersey?
No. I'm talking about the guy who stole Tom Brady's jersey is going to want to show it off.
Why do you think it's
the
a guy,
is,
Ash?
Is that Brady, because I don't know. Only a guy would do something so stupid. I do think it's a guy. He's going to want to tell all his friends about it at the Boz or whatever, like everywhere. Show it off as much as possible. Someone's going to hear it and be like, this is my opportunity to meet Tom Brady, because their loyalty lies Tom Brady first, family, friends. That's how it goes.
Yeah,
I guess it's
definitely
Brady, Belichick, in New family, England. Friends.
Well, okay.
I think it's like Brady, Clam Chowder.
They're going to route him out immediately friends, so they can meet Tom Brady and personally hand it over to him. It's going to be a bloodbath in the streets. It's going to be amazing. I'm really happy this happened now.
So the Washington Post reported this morning that maybe the jersey wasn't actually stolen at all, and this is just like misplaced hysteria, and that maybe it was misplaced because apparently the jersey was missing before like media even entered the room. So they're thinking maybe the people who packed the equipment picked it up off the floor and put it in with the rest of the stuff. So as they go through that equipment, it'll turn up. That is possible.
That's a lame story. I don't like that one as much.
I think it's funny also to just assume that, like, oh, what is this gross, like, sweaty thing? Like, throw it in the back.
Tom Brady.
It's just, like, a disgusting shirt. That's funny to me, too. Honestly.
What else are we going on? Okay, so just a shout out. It's hockey month. Hockey is for everyone, and Chris Mosier is, like, leading some of the packs on this, and we love Chris Mosier.
Oh, awesome.
So shout out to him. Yeah. So around New York, they've had the You Can Play night, and they're taping their sticks and Pride night, and it's really cool. So shout out to everyone who's involved with that. We really love you guys. Danny Amendola wore a Fire Goodell hat at the Patriots parade. Not so subtle jab, basically, in your face. I know that I'm going to be watched by millions of people, and I'm sticking up for my boy, which is great. Like, freedom of speech. Do it. I love it. There's no need to cover it up.
Pats love to wear hats to make statements,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, they do. Pats are good at wearing hats.
Oh, Lord. When is the last time someone did something so aggressive towards the commissioner of their league?
Yeah, that isn't a really aggressive gesture, I would say.
It's incredibly aggressive.
But
yeah.
What are the punishments going to be? Like, what is he going to get fined? Like, could they do that?
Oh, it's going to be – you're going to get a worse fine for supporting your mother who has breast cancer on your cleats than Danny Amendola will for saying, I don't like this guy who is essentially my boss. Yeah. So that's the beauty of this is that he's bringing more of this light to light, which we already know. No, screw that. We already know how bad it is and how unfair the punishments are and how kind of wonky they are. So it's going to be funny to see this one play out. I bet he doesn't even get punished.
No,
I bet
I
nothing
so
happens
either.
Except –
I have nothing
Maybe Robert
to Kraft say
will
about
do something
this.
Just because, like, Goodell will be like, yo, you gotta handle your people. It's bad luck on you, which it is, technically.
Yeah, it is.
So I think maybe he'll get a little slap on the wrist, but I think that'll be the most of it.
And I can't see Danny Amendola.
That's your name.
Danny. I can't see him apologizing either.
Yeah, I cannot comment on this because I will go off into a political metaphorical rant,
that's
and
fair.
No one wants to hear that.
Right.
So the aggressive gesture. That's what I'll say about it.
We'll move on. Will Leach wrote an article for Sports on Earth re-ranking the most tortured teams and fan bases now, and so he focused on football. I want to know: do you guys know who the number one tortured football team is for?
Is it the Lions?
It's not. Oh. Top four. The longest
drought. The Browns. It must be the Browns.
The Bills. Then the
Bills.
I think the Browns were second. It was the Bills, the
Are
Browns.
Are the Browns just so hopeless?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I guess the Bills because they lost four in a row.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's rough.
You guys want to hear a story about my trivia night?
Yeah.
It involves football, so this
Always.
Is not just like off the nothing to do with anything.
Gemma went to trivia.
So I host a trivia night in Brooklyn, and one of the questions a couple weeks ago was over the wild card game weekend, and the question was just to point out, our trivia is attended by a bunch of nerds. I love them. That's who they are. And I knew the question would be kind of hard because it was name one team that won an NFL wild card game over the weekend. And I just assumed that's easy. That's an easy question. But because of the people who come to this trivia, I was like, it's going to be kind of hard, right? And one team wrote the Browns. And I was like, that is so optimistic and so wrong, like that they would ever get anywhere near the postseason.
Oh my
like,
God.
Never could the Browns even get close to a wild card game. And I was like, that level of just like blind optimism was
you
so
don't get that these days.
Cute. And I was like, so wrong. Also so wrong.
It's so like naive, but you love it. You're like, your innocence is still
Honestly, I never give negative points. You just get 0 points if you get something wrong. But I was like, I feel like I should take points away from you for this answer.
I feel like you should get bonus points. You're so incredibly wrong.
I agree with that completely.
I'm going to ask who won the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure they will also answer the Browns.
No!
Feel bad for those people. They deserve extra alcohol.
They have a lot of hope.
A lot of hope. Okay, yeah. So we're chatting about all this stuff, but we played a little Trend or Trash today. And so you can take a listen to that right now. Major League Baseball is always trying to improve the game. They're always trying to put a great product on the field, and they're always trying to make it more efficient, right? That is the goal. Rob Manfred has made it clear that the game is running long. So they are trying something new out, which they often do in the minor leagues. And this time around, they are going to try something when extra innings rolls around. They're going to put a guy on second, and then they're going to see how quickly does the game pick up. Is this going to be a good thing for Major League Baseball? So, Trend or Trash, that's what I want to know. If this rule gets implemented into Major League Baseball, is this going to have a positive impact on the game? Gemma?
Okay. So without addressing the runner on second situation, I'm going to say that in some of the conversations about this, Joe Torre said that one of his issues is that when games go over and they're extra innings, people don't like to watch a non-pitcher pitch in relief.
Right.
I love to watch non-pitchers pitch in relief. Yeah. I really enjoy that. I do think that it can seem a little futile or whatever, but there is something fun about watching a catcher come in and pitch, or a guy who's like, yeah, I pitched in high school, watch me come and pitch now. If this rule had existed, would I have seen Ichiro pitch? Probably not. And that would take a lot of joy away from me because I loved that moment so much. So I don't really want to make a firm commitment on my feelings about this, okay. But I do think that part of the joy of extra innings in baseball is watching things get a little wacky. I don't mind that. I think it's part of the quirkiness of a game like baseball, which doesn't necessarily have a clock, you know, any kind of strict time rule.
Yeah.
So that to me makes it unique among major American sports, and that uniqueness often gets to splay out in a lot of just strange ways, and I would miss that, you know.
Ash?
I would miss that.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this. Does Joe Torre not go on Twitter? That is absolutely everyone's favorite thing in the entire world when weird baseball happens. So that's crazy. Also, I kind of feel like this is a non-issue. I mean, how often does that happen? It's not like we're dealing with that once a month. We're dealing with it a couple times a year. I get it that it is kind of, I mean, they go long and people leave and people stop watching, but I don't know. I feel like this is not really an issue with that. And I don't like this rule. But I'm also a traditionalist. I don't like a lot of change. So I think it's weird to start with someone on second. I don't know. I'm hoping that it fails in the minor leagues, but if it works out and it works for baseball, then that's cool. I mean, I kind of also was hoping that replay would fail because, again, I'm like afraid of change. And I love replay now. So I can't really speak to whether or not I hate this rule, but I do want it to fail. How about that?
Okay, so I'm going to go the opposite way, and I am going to trend this. I agree that weird baseball should be more embraced. It should be a part of the game, and we should want to give it a chance to live and breathe. But I think it's really interesting. So when I played softball, a lot of times when we went to extra innings in national tournaments, we put a runner on second, and the stakes just grow. You are – that person on second becomes – the most important person in the game. It doesn't matter what the score is anymore. You're both tied. You're both back to zero. And so this person on second, it's the last out. So maybe it's your worst player. Maybe it's your best player. And it's kind of like a gamble. And you get to see, okay, what's going to happen? Are they going to bunt the guy over? Are they just going to let the next guy hit a bomb? Like, how are they? It kind of makes it more strategic. And you get to see a manager kind of thinking more and see how their brain works, which I think is really interesting too. And I just think it spices it up. I think it's really interesting to see someone go out to second and start the inning off there. It's just something you don't see anymore. You don't see at all in baseball. So I saw it in softball, but I'm going to trend it. I want to see what happens. I'd like to see this rule.
I just think
enacted.
It would start so many arguments. Can you imagine like if a deciding postseason game, like a DS game or something, went into extra innings and like someone ended up on second base, and no matter how that game turned out, it does not matter. One side of the team would always be like, well, we can never know which team is actually better because of the runner on second. Like, that's not real. No one hit a double. Like, they just – so there would never, ever be the chance to be secure in that victory, in that kind of extra innings victory.
I think it's really interesting. Again, I want to keep the weird, but I'm intrigued by this proposal. So we're going to kind of stick with that, actually, the overtime theme. So obviously Super Bowl Sunday, long gone. Like, we're kind of over what happened. But something that people still are talking about is the overtime. And the rule in football is the guy who wins the toss obviously chooses what they want to do. So the Patriots chose to receive. And they scored. And they won. And the only way that the Falcons would have gotten the ball back is if the Patriots would have kicked a field goal. So basically, once the coin toss was over, the game is done. Unless the Patriots just, you know, poop their pants, you know, the Falcons are SOL. So people are saying this rule needs to go away. It needs to be fair. Both sides need to get a chance to go. So trend or trash, does this overtime rule need to be overturned? Ash, I want to start with you.
I'm going to trash the idea of it being overturned because I don't think it does. Even though I just said I don't like baseball doing it, it's different. It's like one's my child and one's like my niece or nephew, you know, like it's like I love you, but
it's your cousin that you never see.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, we've been dealing with this rule for a while and we've all accepted it. The real issue here is that the Falcons left in the third quarter. It's not that this is the rule, I think, because either way, the Patriots are going to win that game. The Falcons, like I said, just completely left. They were gone. So I don't think we need to change this rule. I think it's fine.
If you're a Falcons fan, then you're thinking, hey, like, I want my team to have the chance. That's not fair that we didn't get to counteract and try to tie it up. But again,
had your chance the entire game because you let that game go.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
You don't have another possession. I don't care about your possession. You had a whole quarter to fix this.
But I trash this overtime rule because I think that if you have the, like, because if it's just weighted, like from that coin toss, it was like, okay, well, I can turn off the TV and walk away now. And that is not interesting. Just from the pure virtue of like whether I want to watch the sport or not, that is not interesting.
Right.
So,
well,
you
do have the opportunity to stop them. And it's like, oh my God, this is, you know, because teams get a certain amount of like adrenaline when it's like one or done, this is it. Mm-hmm. We got to pull together now. And maybe they could have done something. I think that was my personal
opinion. I just feel like there wasn't very much that was open to them. Like there was no option. Like so in soccer games, I know I talk about soccer a lot, but whatever. In soccer games, you just get an extra like court. There's just like a full extra quarter that happens, you know? So I feel like that should continue.
It's an even playing field.
And it's not sudden death. So if someone scores, and that can mean something, but it can also mean like, you know, something else can happen. The other team has the time to come back. And if they don't, they don't. And obviously there's no penalty kick equivalent in football. But I just think that the sudden death rule in that moment just took all the air out of the game for me. And that was boring. Like it was just boring for me. So I trashed this and I'm in favor of writing a new rule.
Let's switch gears back to baseball. And so Mr. Sergio Romo is he's headed south. He's headed south in California. And I don't know if it's because Ashley moved to L.A. or
probably.
If it's because Kenley Jansen needs a setup man. It's probably that reason. But so Sergio Romo is a Dodger officially, and Ashley's hiding her face. But I'm really excited. Trend or trash, do the Dodgers need Sergio Romo more than the Giants needed him?
I think that's really hard to quantify right now, but I do think that the Dodgers will benefit from his presence.
Okay.
I mean, just in terms of the fact that their bullpen is always kind of like, everyone always has a lot of questions about them.
I
think
always.
We can trust Sergio Romo, but I also think like another thing that the Dodgers have had to contend with recently is just like clubhouse chemistry issues overall. And Sergio Romo, I just really like him. I think that he's a veteran, he's got good experience, he's going to be around to sort of like provide a kind of grounded balance to those guys. I don't know if he's better suited to one team or the other, but I do think that I will trend this because I like him and also because it's very obvious to me that the Dodgers made a good pickup.
And Ashley.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to surprise you because I'm going to be very professional about this.
I'm ready.
It is funny. My dad said the same exact thing. He was like, guess who else is coming to LA? And I was like, I know. No, which is great. I agree with Gemma that – it's hard to quantify that. I don't know who would benefit either way. I am, and this is beyond any like team ties or anything like this. I think he should have gone to a different division at very least because the NL West knows him so well. Mm-hmm. And that was a struggle that we had with him is that slider is incredible and beautiful and amazing, but you can know it and you can learn it. And people have learned it, especially in the NL West. So I think that he should have gone to another team, but I understand he also didn't have really any options. Mm-hmm. Not any options, but not as many options as maybe he would have liked. And I mean, LA, he's from Southern California. That's nice. You know, he's in the same division. I guess maybe that's nice for him. I don't know. It will be, he is like with a contending team. That's great. You know, it makes sense. All these moves make sense. Do I think he's going to be a good setup man for Kenley? I don't know. I really don't know because of all his struggles with us the last couple of years. So after Tim Lincecum left, I'm kind of just like, nothing matters. Everything is like, everyone leaves you no matter what, nothing matters. So I'm okay with this. I'm kind of okay with it.
And
plus, I'm
going
to be going to a lot of Dodger games now, so I guess I get to see him a lot. I don't know.
I'm going to trash this move because of the NL West reasoning. I just think that, like, if you're going to leave, like, you got to leave. You got to get out before those reasons. The people have figured him out, and they're hitting him. And I want to see a guy like him succeed. I love his clubhouse presence. I love the fact that he'd set up for Jansen. Like, I want to see that Dodgers bullpen, like, reload a little bit. And I love Kenley Jansen so much, but I just feel like that's not the fit for him. I read an article saying that maybe the Nationals were looking at him. They were like the undisclosed team and whatnot, mm-hmm. which I think would also be a really great fit for him. I would have loved to see him go over there and get to play with some of the
guys. In terms of teams that have managed to turn around pitchers that maybe you didn't necessarily believe anymore, I think the Dodgers are up there.
Yeah.
You know, they keep having these guys who come back who you thought like, oh, wait, this guy's still in the league? And then there he is in the Dodgers bullpen.
Brett Anderson, Rich Hill.
Yeah, Ross Stripling. All these guys, I feel like it's not a bad fit for
him. Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. All right, so that was Trend or Trash. And again, we're on iTunes. We are on Sports on Earth. This is Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman, Gemma Kaneko, Ashley Chavez. We are here. We're on Twitter. We hang out. We're coast to coast right now, and we really love hanging out and chatting and talking about all these crazy things going on in the sports bubble. And I'm just gonna do a little throwback since it's Thursday. It's the same old sports and the same old earth, but it's brand new takes. All right.
So yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll check you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field.